They smelt the river from afar, the perfume of the sweet, cool waters on the desert air. The horses lifted their heads and whickered. The infantry quickened their step and gazed ahead, eager for the first glimpse of the waters that, at this season of the year, would be swollen and dark with rich silts, the flesh and blood of the motherland. Nefer and Mintaka rode together in his chariot at the head of the long cavalcade that wound down the caravan road from Galala. Meron and Merikara rode at his right hand in the second chariot of the column. Over the protests of Merikara, who thought him still too weak and sick, Meron had insisted on being in the van. "I missed the battle at Galala, but I vow I'll never miss another. As long as there's breath in my body, I will ride with my king and my dearest friend." Though he was thin and pale as an egret, he stood proud on the footplate with the reins in his hands. The leading chariots topped the escarpment, and below them stretched the green valley of the Nile, with the mighty river itself gleaming like a spill of molten copper from the furnace, glowing red in the early sunlight. Nefer turned and smiled at Meron in the chariot alongside. "We are coming home." Mintaka began singing, softly at first, then more strongly as Nefer added his voice to hers. "Temple of the gods, seat of 10,000 heroes, greenest in all the earth, our dearest love, our sweetest home, our very Egypt." Then Meron and Merikara were singing with them, and the singing spread back down the column. Squadron after squadron picked up the joyous chorus as they wound down the escarpment. Another army came to meet them. Armed charioteers in the van, generals and captains leading their regiments, and legions of foot soldiers following them. Behind them followed the elders, the priests, and the governors of every nome, all dressed in their robes, chains, and decorations of office, some in carriages and others in litters borne by slaves, and still others riding astride or on foot. After them came the dense masses of citizenry, laughing and dancing. Some of the women were carrying their infants and weeping for joy as they picked out their husbands, lovers, brothers, and sons in the ranks of the army of exile coming home. The two cavalcades came together and mingled, and elders and generals prostrated themselves before Pharaoh's chariot. Nefer dismounted, raised up those he recognized, and embraced the mightiest and most powerful of them, calling down the blessings of the gods on all his people. When he mounted again, they fell in behind him and followed him to the banks of the Nile. There Nefer dismounted again, and, fully dressed, plunged into the waters. While they lined the banks and cheered and sang, he bathed ritually and drank of the muddy brown waters. Mounted once again, and dressed in fresh linen robes, with the blue war crown on his head, Nefer led the vast concourse along the river bank towards the city of Avaris. For a league outside the city, the road was lined with the welcoming crowds. They had allayed the dust by sprinkling the road with Nile water, and had spread palm fronds and flowers in his way. When they reached the city, the gates stood wide open, and the populace lined the walls. They'd hung banners and bunches of sweet flowers and fruits from the ramparts. They sang anthems of loyalty, praise, and welcome, as Nefer, with Mintaka beside him, drove under the arch of the gateway. Beautiful as a young garden goddess, they drove first to the magnificent temple on the river bank that Trok-Uruk had built to celebrate his own divinity. Nefer had sent instructions ahead of him, and the stonemasons had already been at work for weeks. They had chiselled away every portrait of the false pharaoh, and expunged his name from the walls and tall hypostyle columns. They were still busy engraving the portraits and titles of the winged Horus and of Pharaoh Nefertiti, together with descriptions of his victory at the Battle of Galala. Nefer drove there as his first duty to give thanks to the god and to sacrifice a pair of perfect black bulls before the stone altar. After the religious service, he declared a week of holiday, festivity, and feasting, with free millet bread, beef, wine, and beer for every citizen, and games and theatre to amuse them. "You are a sly one, my heart," Mintaka told him admiringly. "They loved you before, but now they will adore you."
"For how long?" Nefer wondered. "As soon as the news of our ascension to the throne reaches Narja in far-off Babylon, he'll be on the march, if he's not already. The common people will love me until he knocks upon the gates."